Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Had a conversation this weekend with some family members about child training and training up our children. It was very rich in content, and wanted to have a little talk together with us as far as what God's Word says concerning the blessing of not only our children, but also training up our children in particular. I don't want to make this too long of a message. This is definitely not exhaustive, obviously, but it should whet our appetite to grasp what God said, to study, to search out, and to obey what God said concerning training our children. Father, we pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that You would instill in us Your holy fear and, Lord, a dutiful spirit, Lord, with Your grace, Lord, to train up the seed, the children that You've given us, Lord. In Jesus' name, we love You and praise You for it. Lord, let each parent have Your grace upon their lives in this matter, Lord, to be convicted of the importance of training up the children that You've given them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to go to Proverbs here in a minute. We're pretty much going to stay in a handful of verses in Proverbs. But notice in Deuteronomy 6 that the Lord speaks here in verse 2 that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and to keep all His statutes and commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Amen. God promises to prolong our days as we teach and obey Him. Verse 7, Deuteronomy 6, and thou shalt teach them diligently, that is the commands, the words, the instructions of God. Thou shalt teach them diligently, notice diligently, unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest. Now, notice here, next verse, verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontless between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. So the Word of God is to fill our houses, and not only with them posted on the wall, on your refrigerator, on your, that would translate the post of thy house, your mirrors in your bathroom and stuff like that, but also we're to train our children when we sit in our house, he says here in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 6. And a lot of people are very religious, and they think that just sending their children to children's church at one of these lukewarm churches or sending them to Christian schools negates their personal responsibility that God has given them as parents to train up their children right there in the home. Let me read verse 7 again, and notice the language. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. There it is. Has God given you a sovereign abode, a place to live with you and your family? Wherever that is, an apartment, a home, a trailer park, it doesn't matter. That's your home. And when you sit in your home, you are to talk of the Word of God and the goodness of God and the instructions of God and instill them in your children. Somebody is going to teach your children something, and God puts that as a personal responsibility upon parents to instill His Word in those children. Okay, if your wife is pregnant right now, sir, I want to encourage you as your brother in Christ to put your hand on that belly and you pray over that beautiful child that God has given you guys, and to welcome that child in the world already coming with parents and already with God moving on that child's life. I did that with my son, and God has shown Himself faithful in that. Let me just say that. Remember, John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb, okay? And that was at the announcement of the Messiah. God can work and will work in the child's life in the womb of the mother. We have biblical proof of that. So when you're sitting in your house and when you walk us by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up, you are to talk about, and teach diligently your children the word of God. What a blessing it is. One of the most incredible scriptures in the Bible for any application is Isaiah 55:11. Let me encourage you with that, friends, and exhort you to memorize and meditate upon this beautiful passage. This truth says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." I tell you what, that is so grandiose. God's word is not going to return void. Jesus said the seed is the word of God, Luke 8:11. What a blessing. So we plant that seed. Now, we can't make our children, especially when they get older, to serve the Lord, but we can sure develop the soil, if you will, turn it over and plant the seed, and God will bring it to fruition. I want to talk about, it looks like I have a list of about 7 or 8 things that we are to train our children in. But first, the book of Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And notice the word train. That's a key word in this verse. Train up your child. Many of you listening to me either have worked out or still work out in the gym and or at home. And that's a good thing, by the way, for a life that's balanced. So to train your muscle, you don't just go in and work that muscle one time, right? No. You continue to train it, okay? You're telling it, you're dictating to it what it's going to do. It's going to grow, okay? You're going to break it down, and it's going to grow. See, there's the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection. So notice, it's train up your children. Some of the new versions have changed that. That's why it's so important to get into the King James Bible and trash the fake Bibles, beloved. Train up the child. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay, you're to initiate, you're to discipline, you're to dedicate that child. That's what the Hebrew word is speaking of when it's train. It's a continual, perpetual process. It's not just, well, I told him last year not to do this. Are you kidding me? That is a child. He needs repetition. Now, I'm titling this message, Parenting and Eternal Life. And when I was speaking with some family members, we had a great little chat about training children yesterday. And I've got some nieces and nephews that are younger and being raised up, trained up by their parents. And that's the key. It's not a raising so much as it is a training. Anybody can raise children by just feeding them and giving them a place to sleep and sending them to school. But you and I are to diligently teach our children the word of God, as we just read there in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's all over the Old Testament. Also, we just read it in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So how does parenting and eternal life connect? What do they have in common? Here it is, Proverbs 23:13. And this is one of the things I shared in the conversation about parenting over the weekend recently. Notice, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Did you catch that? Training up your child is directly related to and corresponding with saving his soul from hell. Do you realize that right now as we speak, that hell is chock full of people who were not parented and trained up and called and forced to be accountable by their parents? And notice I said forced. They're under your roof. You're not their best friend. You're the parent. Obey God. It's your duty. And train up your children in the way they should go. And the Bible says you're to beat them with a rod when they do wrong. And what are you doing? You're teaching them to obey authority. You see, there's a lot of people, even in our midst, that they have this lackadaisical attitude toward sin. When Jesus said, you need to cut off the hand and pluck out the eye immediately that causes you to offend, lest your whole body be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Mark 9:43-49. Again, the new versions remove that whole passage as Satan would have it, because he's the author of the new version. Okay, Mark 9:43-49. Jesus said we're to take sin so seriously that we are immediately cut off the hand and pluck out the eye that causes us to offend, lest our whole body be cast into hell. Okay, so if you're not teaching your children responsibility and to make things right immediately by causing there to be pain in their bottom or their
whether you're spanking them, the bottom, whatever, associated with doing wrong, then you're not training them up correctly, and you're going to deliver their soul into hell. You're going to usher them into hell instead of, as it reads here, delivering their soul from hell. This is Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14. That's our major text here today, and I want you to get that down, beloved. Proverbs chapter 23. Verse 13 and 14, it's going to be on the post with this podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com. And while I'm at it, let me encourage you to pray for the fruitfulness and the supply of the ministry, saints. We are reaching people in numerous ways, through numerous venues, including Bibles and scripture-rich books going into prisons all over the country, Bibles going all over the country and in parts of the world. It's a blessing. We're glad to have you praying for us, if you will, and joining in with us to help us, because we are one body in Christ. We are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9. I love that verse. We're all children of God, those that are born again and abiding in Christ presently, and we are his laborers in the earth. Amen. Okay, so Proverbs 23:13-14 is our central passage. And let me read it again. Get in your King James Bible and highlight and read that together as husband and wife, as the parents of your beautiful children that God has entrusted you with. He didn't entrust you to send them off to learn from somebody else. He wants you to instill in them the truth. The truth never comes back void. He always uses it, God said, to accomplish what he desires of it. And that is that all men be saved, that come unto the knowledge of the truth, and that none perish, that all would be known of him and know him. So notice Proverbs 23:13-14. Withhold not correction. Do not withhold it. You can't sit there and say, son, don't do that. Son, don't. Tell him one time, and then comes what? Here's the next part of the verse. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Okay. Another place it says, don't spare for his crying. That pain that brought the crying is for his life lessons and to save his soul from hell, literally. Okay. You're associating pain with doing wrong. Isn't that simple to understand? That's what we see right here in this verse. Withhold not correction from the child. Do not withhold correction from the child. And if you do, what are you doing? You're leading him to hell. You got to repent. If you're having a hard time obeying God in this, something's wrong inside of you. And God's calling you to repent. Stop living by feelings and live on the truth. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Proverbs 28:26. Anybody who trusts in their own heart is a fool. Let me make sure that's 28:26. Yep. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Amen. Okay, that's Proverbs 28:26. Do not walk after your own heart. Your heart is wicked. And you should be crying out to God in repentance to change your heart. It was a beautiful song. Remember that?
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Oh man, that was beautiful. I think you can find that on the Maranatha Praise on YouTube or wherever you listen to your music. And that would be another thing to fill your house with, saints. The beautiful praises of God. We're going to get to about 7 to 8 things that we're to do in training up our children. I just wanted to preliminarily and most importantly and foundationally read you a few scriptures concerning your duty, the command of God on you, for which you shall give account to train up your children. Let me read it one more time. Proverbs 23:13-14. Withhold not correction from the child. That is a direct command. Stop and meditate on that as you study this. Do not withhold correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, do you begin to see why parenting your child in eternal life
are interconnected. Notice, deliver his soul. You shall deliver his soul from hell by doing what? Feeding when needed, associating pain with doing wrong. When you sit there and say, don't do it, oh, don't do it, oh, don't do it, and you try to reason with a child, you are being foolish, okay? That's not what God said to do. You are the parent that is a little child who needs you to teach them the right way. But it's not about you and the child so much, it's about you and God. And one of the things we need to pray for daily is, Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name, O God. Psalm 86:11. We should be praying every day to fear God. And when you fear God, you will obey God. And everything will work out right in your life. Listen, if you're not obeying God, it's because you do not fear God. Okay, now we read in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18, chasten thy son while there is hope. Notice, chasten thy son while there is hope. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 19, 18. You know, you can't wait to begin chastening your children and training them up. You have to do that from the womb when the child is still in the womb. Now, if you haven't done that because you weren't walking with God and your child is grown or to some degree 4, 5, 8, 10, 12 years old, you still have to do this. You still have to obey God. You got to make up for lost time and pray to God to give you wisdom in doing such. Proverbs 19, 18, chasten thy son while there is hope. It's too late when they're 18, 16, 14, whatever. They're out there doing all kinds of evil, or they're compromising in their life in other ways, okay? And you're sending them to hell because you're not teaching them accountability, personal responsibility, and that God sees everything they think and do. It's part of what we're to teach our children. So Proverbs 19, 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Self-evident, okay? Here's another part of the conversation I had with some people yesterday. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, I want you to start meditating on this truth, because let me tell you, there's divine wisdom in all of this we're talking about today. And this one, certainly there is deep divine wisdom that God wants you to understand. And we can pray that God will give us understanding in this matter and any other matter. Notice Proverbs 22:15. Listen to this. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. Foolishness is what? It's bound. It's trapped in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Let me see if I can grasp something here on bound. It's instilled in a child, okay? We're born in sin. Romans 5, we're born in sin. Romans 3, etc. So foolishness is bound in the heart of any child because we're born after Adam and death passed upon all men. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But how do you get it out of the child? Here it is. But the rod of correction shall do what? Drive it far from him. Now, notice that until the rod of correction is applied to that child correctly by the parent, foolishness will be trapped in his heart looking for a way to act out or to get out, okay? The iniquity of foolishness is in a child's heart until it's driven far from him. When you look at children that are raised by godly parents, yes, godly parents obey God in everything we're talking about here, okay? If you're not disciplining children, the problem is you. You need to repent. You are not a godly person. Forget your excuses. Put the axe to the root. Don't want to hear you love your children. If you love your children, you will obey God, first of all. And you will discipline them and train them up the way God has commanded you to do. Okay? The problem is you don't love God. If you love God, you would obey God. He gave you those children. Those children are his first, not yours. You just got blessed to steward them while they're younger, especially. So foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but it's the rod of correction that will drive that foolishness out of your child. Do you want your child to walk around being a fool and be full of foolishness? If not, you better put the rod of correction on them. Obey God, okay? But do it because God said to do it, whether you understand it or not. But I want you to meditate on that verse from now for the rest of your life and share it with others. Meditate. Proverbs 22:15. Before we move on. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Okay? Break that down. Meditate on it. Search it out. Okay, one more. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom,
but a child left to himself, in other words, one that is not made to be accountable and is not trained up, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Some of these people running around wonder why they're being so shamed because their child's doing all these things. They didn't train the child correctly. They just let him grow up, you know? Unbelievable. Okay, just unbelievable lack of natural affections. No saved person does that. Every truly saved person is training. They're obeying God by training up their child. Now, here's some things that we are to train up our children in. This is not exhaustive, but it's a good list. Number one, that they are sinners. Establish that. Romans 3, okay? Also, establish in their hearts that God requires that they obey him. And that would begin with repenting. God requires that they obey him. You know, I was ministering to a guy. He actually came back to Christ a few days ago. I told him, I said, you know, during the conversation, I said, God loves you more than you can
understand. But God also requires that you obey him, okay? A lot of times we see people telling folks, God loves you. God, listen, don't be in balance. Give them a balance of the truth. God's love for them does not give them the license to live in sin. And we're dealing with the flesh, okay? The sinful nature, depravity of heart that the Bible articulates many times. We got to be careful and use admonishments to warn people that if they disobey God, it's called sin. They're going to be separated from him and they're going to reap what they sow. Okay, we need a whole lot more of that in our language, saints. It takes a whole Bible to make a whole disciple. Okay, when you're becoming a whole disciple, you're disclosing to others the fuller truth, the more the truth of God. As you learn, you teach. We are to be teaching the Bible. Jesus commanded us to do that. To go and teach others everything he's taught us. Matthew 28:18-20. Okay, so two things so far that we're to teach our children and are training them up, that they are sinners. Number two, that God requires that they obey him, okay? He requires it. Number three, how to be saved. Take them down the Romans road. First of all, give them the law. That's right there is what establishes what's right and what's wrong. That establishes what sin is, and also it convicts us because we've all broken those commandments. Take them through the Ten Commandments. Talk about how you've broken them. And how all men have broken them and we're fully guilty. And they are to lead us to Christ. By the way, that's Exodus chapter 20 is where the Ten Commandments are. I want you to encourage you to know those and also to help your children know them. We're not living under the law now. We can't be saved by the law. But God says in 1 Timothy 1 that according to the glorious gospel of the New Testament of Christ, that we are to give sinners the law. Okay, and your child is a sinner until born again. I know you love them. You might not want to see it that way. That's how the Bible says it is. So giving them the law. Okay, that's why we got these young kids going around shooting and killing and stealing from people. We removed in our country the Ten Commandments. Therefore, they have no check. They have no conviction in their conscience because they're not shown the Ten Commandments that says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, etc. Our consciences must be affected by the Word of God. Everybody around you and I needs to hear the law of God, and their consciences need to be alarmed. That's what happens. God gave us a conscience so we can be convicted and come to the place of falling on the mercy of God through Christ. That's what we read in Galatians 3:24. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us what? To Christ. So we're to teach our children that they are sinners. By giving them the law. We're to teach them that God requires that they obey him, and he is holding them responsible. Part of that obedience is to honor your father and mother. Number three, how to be saved. Teach them how to be saved. Teach them all about Jesus, the gospel, etc. The death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Now, the next thing on the list is teach your children to love God and love their neighbor. Golden rule living. Matthew 7:12. And as much as you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. And hash that out with them. Say, son, do you want somebody else to steal from you or to hit you in the face? No, daddy. Well, don't do it to anybody else, okay? You got to live with the perspective of how you're affecting other people. If you don't want something done to you, don't do that to anybody else. While I'm at it, let me throw this out there. A lot of parents rightly teach their children that if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. I like that. There is a constructive time to warn, but overall, all slander involves unnecessarily talking bad about somebody else. Okay, so if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. That's a lot of scripture about this. All right, the next one, honor authority. And that's what you're doing when you train up your children. Give pain associated with doing wrong, pulling something off the table all the time. You know, I know the children have to get old enough before they actually realize these things. You know what I mean? You can't do it too early because they don't understand what they're doing. But when they start to understand, God will give you wisdom. And so you're teaching them to obey authority. And you can always see, as I began to say earlier, the clear-eyed happiness and the joy and the cleanness of heart in children that are homeschooled by godly parents, for instance. I've run into them from time to time over the years, and it's absolutely magnificent. It's the difference between night and day, where children who are brought up by godly parents and not into public school indoctrination and corruption and wickedness, with all those other wicked kids who aren't being trained up by their parents in a godly way, that's a big difference. You look into these public school kids' eyes, you're not going to see innocence. You're going to see pollution and defilement, and it's the parents' fault. Well, brother, we've got to work. I don't want to hear it. Your child is not important enough to you to stop letting Satan dump all his filth in them daily? I wonder where you're at with God. Big time. There's something wrong with that. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and it must be driven from them by the rod of correction, not by feeding the foolishness. It's only the rod of correction that's going to drive it far from them. Proper parenting, training, and not letting this foolishness be fed more by putting them around a bunch of other kids that are living little two-legged rebels themselves that are not being trained up correctly. How do you expect that to work out well for your children? They're young. They don't have the strength and the will and the knowledge and understanding to make certain decisions and discernment and separate themselves from these kids in first grade, second grade, whatever. So you shouldn't expect that, even though you tell them these things, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Listen to this. Evil communications, right? Corrupt good manners. There it is. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So the evil communications, the world of defiling, evil, sinful things going on all around your children because you chose to put them in public school, is going to corrupt good manners in their life. Please don't sacrifice your children on the altar of your greed, beloved. So many people, married couples, have both parents working. So they're pulling their children off of somebody else to oversee and train. And it's because they live in a bigger house and they drive all these expensive cars. I know, listen, I don't want to get into your personal business, but are those cars and that house more important than your children? I'm just asking a question. You got to have the wife out there working. And I know every family's unique. And I'm not trying to be cookie cutter, but I'm just trying to throw some food for thought out there, saints. Because we only get one chance to train our children up correctly. Okay? I'm going to send them to hell, the Bible says right here in Proverbs 23:14, if we don't train them up correctly and teach them accountability. We are personally responsible to do that. We read that throughout the Pentateuch. We read that in Deuteronomy 6, that's just one of many places we see in Moses' teachings, the Holy Spirit through Moses, on the responsibility of the parent to train up our children. It's in the New Testament too, Ephesians 6, etc. So, evil communications corrupt good manners. Remember that your children, when they're surrounded with evil communications from the teachers, the faculty members at those public schools, and the children, it's going to affect their life, and it's not going to be good. Here's the next one. We're to teach our children to walk in utter integrity and honesty. I used to teach myself when he was small that honesty is not only the best policy, it is the only policy. Teach them to take a personal responsibility and accountability for their actions, for everything they do. My father was a big, strong man. And when we'd pick a fight, which hardly ever happened because he told us never to do it, always finish a fight if somebody picks it. But don't ever start one. He would make us go to that kid and openly, out loud with our own words, ask that child to forgive them and tell that child that they were wrong. Okay, that's good lessons. You make that child accountable. Don't cover his sins. Make him confess them. It's just amazing how some parents think their children never do any wrong. Are you kidding me? You are delusional and you need to get saved. I am rebuking you right now. Your child is a sinner like everyone born after Adam, and it's your responsibility to make them accountable. Next one, we're to train our children to always be serving God and others. Matthew 23:11. The one that is greatest among you is going to be the what? Servant of all. Matthew 23:11. Teach them these verses. ABS, always be serving. Okay, the next one. Teach them to help the poor. Teach them to help the poor. We got a lot of scriptures in the Bible on the poor. Teach them the scriptures about the poor, to help their neighbor and to love their neighbor. Always, and love everybody regardless of the color of their skin, okay? No matter what, love them. That doesn't mean you lie to them by not telling them the truth, but you love them. They're a creation of God. Okay, here's one I taught my son growing up. I love it. Teach them always to know that God can do anything, to trust God. Here it is. It's Mark chapter 10, verse 27. It says, with men, Jesus saith unto them, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. God is able, no matter what your children in their whole life, no matter what they fought, what place, what season, no matter what faces them, they can know, because you instilled it in them, that with God all things are possible. In life, your children are going to face seemingly insurmountable odds, things that look like they're impossible, to come out on the good end of things for God's glory. But Jesus tells us, with men it is impossible. We're limited, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And that brings us to our next point. Teach your children to pray, beloved. Teach them to pray. Teach them scripture on prayer. The Bible is full of that. Okay, here's another one. Getting close to the end. We're getting ready to close, saints. Teach your children eternal perspective. That's what we just read in Proverbs 23:14. That's what you're doing by training your children up. When you withhold not correction, you beat them with the rod of iron to make them accountable. Okay, you're delivering their soul from hell. And also, I would add 2 Corinthians, and that's going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16 through 18, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Again, we're teaching our children. We're letting the Word of God teach them eternal perspective. On that note, Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Eternal perspective. Also, I want to point out one more. That's Romans 8:18, that last one. One more is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, eye hath not seen nor ear heard the great things which God has prepared for them that love him. Amen. Fill your children's hearts and minds with these truths, beloved. Somebody might say, wait a minute, they're just children. They can't understand it. Are you kidding me? Who made them? God. Who wrote this word? God. See, children never lack capacity to learn. They only lack good instructors. That should be you as the parent, to instruct them. Let's stop overthinking stuff and thinking and leaning to our own understanding. That, again, is an indication of a rebellious heart that's using human reasoning instead of simply going by the Word of God. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in, not yourself, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He gave us his word in the Bible. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The same with your children. You teach the children. You put your child the word of God in your child, which it never returns void, and God will teach them his right ways. Again, 1 Corinthians 2:9, eternal perspective. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. I hope you're taking notes. This is some good scripture. Take a look at John 14:1-6, where Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Eternal perspective. Two more. Teach your children to praise the Lord with great joy. So many scriptures on this in Psalms, etc. Praise him on the harp and with the timbrel, etc. Psalm 149, Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. How about Hebrews 13:15, by him, that is Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So teach them praise, teach them to be thankful, to stop and pray right with your children. Say, all right, let's pray. We're going to thank God for what? Everything we already have. See, not only in our lives, and we need to teach our children the same thing. As we learn the word, we teach our children. We need to stop and thank God for what we already have. Thank him for what we're asking for, that we desire, and our needs, right? That's all Bible. But also thank him. Every time we should be thanking God for what we already have, like grateful children. You know, think about it as parents. If your child is only always asking for other things, instead of saying, Daddy, Mommy, remember when you gave me this, or remember when you took us on this vacation or whatever to eat at that restaurant, I wanted to just tell you I thank you. Wouldn't that be wonderful for a parent to hear something like that, instead of what they continue to want more and more, you know, like they're coveting and insatiably wanting more things instead of thanking you for what you already gave them? I think you see the perspective. So thanksgiving is very important. Teaching our children and cultivating a heart of thanksgiving in them is so important. Let me make this statement. Any person that is not content, it's because they're coveting. They're not thankful. Okay, that's what scripture teaches in Hebrews chapter 13. We need to overcome the covetousness. You're either living out of a covetous heart, which is a sin, thou shalt not covet. It's a damning sin. Ephesians 5:5-9 tells us, a covetous man who is an idolater has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Okay, let your conversation, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation or your way of life be without covetousness. And here it is. And be content. Two words here, key words, covetousness and content. Okay, if you're content, you're not covetous. If you're covetous, you're not content. Teach your children these things that you and I wish that we'd have been taught from a child. I know that most of you agree with that, and I want to encourage you to obey God in this matter. Your children are so important. They're beyond description important.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.